We're taking a look at the president's remarks yesterday about the ongoing violence in Ferguson, Missouri. Police said they came under heavy fire from protesters last night, and two people were shot, but not by police.
Protesters are angry about the death of an unarmed black teen, Michael Brown. He was shot by a white police officer earlier this month in the predominantly black suburb of St. Louis.
Some analysts called President Obama heartfelt and personal last year when he spoke about the death of Trayvon Martin, another unarmed black teen whose death sparked national conversation about race. But in his remarks yesterday, our guest says the president sounded scripted and distant. Edward Isaac Dover is with us. He's senior White House reporter for Politico. Isaac, welcome to Central Time.
It's good to be here.
Let's start by listening back to what President Obama said about Trayvon Martin. He made these remarks after a jury declared neighborhood watchman George Zimmerman not guilty in the trial over the death of Trayvon Martin. Let's listen to the clip.
There are very few African-American men in this country who haven't had the experience of being followed when they were shopping in a department store. That includes me. There are very, very few African-American men who haven't had the experience of walking across the street and hearing the locks click on the doors of cars. That happens to me, at least before I was a senator. There are very few African-Americans who haven't had the experience of getting on an elevator and a woman clutching her purse nervously and holding her breath until she had a chance to get off. That happens often. And I don't want to exaggerate this, but those sets of experiences inform how the African-American community interprets what happened one night in Florida.
Isaac, as you listen back to that, how would you characterize his statements?
Well, it's very personal. It's, I think you could say, emotional. He's relating his own experiences to the situation, not just about Trayvon Martin, but as he was saying, of many black men in this country. And he was doing that in a way that he, for a long time in public life, did not do. He was very careful not to speak in those sorts of terms. And if you remember, that's not the first time related to the Trayvon Martin situation that he spoke in those personal terms earlier in the year in 2012, before the trial in 2012, he said, if I had a son, he would look like Trayvon, which was, again, bringing himself very much into the situation, making it about his own experience as well as the larger experience. And that's something that we've seen him do a lot over the course of the last year, not just on the Trayvon Martin situation, but when he's been talking about these issues, when he's been talking about the My Brother's Keeper initiative. He spoke just last month about how he looked out at the people who are in that program, and it's young black and Latino boys and young men. And he said that he sees himself in them. 35 years ago, that's him. That's just a very deep emotional connection that he's making, a deep personal connection that he's making to those things. And it's not what we heard from him over the course of his two statements on the situation in Ferguson.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let's take a listen then to some of what he said yesterday with regards to Ferguson.
To a community in Ferguson that is rightly hurting and looking for answers, let me call once again for us to seek some understanding rather than simply holler at each other. Let's seek to heal rather than to wound each other. As Americans, we've got to use this moment to seek out our shared humanity that's been laid bare by this moment.
And Isaac, what were your thoughts when you heard him speak yesterday?
Well, you have a president obviously talking about the situation, but in a way that is not with that level of personal connection that we heard on the other statements. It's not with that understanding himself, bringing himself into the situation the way that he did in the previous statements. He talked about how there needs to be understanding. There needs to be, he said, we need to listen to each other, not shout at each other, those sorts of things. But it was more of a leader talking about the country, but not as someone who could relate to the experience in a different way himself because of his experiences.
And why do you think there's a difference? Have you thought much about that? And what do you think marks the distinction?
Well, there are a couple of things. The one of the differences is that the clip that you played at the beginning of the statement after the Zimmerman verdict came in was after the Zimmerman verdict came in. And as he said yesterday, this is a situation in Ferguson that is still unfolding in the legal process, and he didn't want to, as he said, put his thumb on the scale. That being said, he, as I was saying earlier in the Trayvon Martin situation, spoke personally about his the connection, essentially, to the Martin situation. So that's one difference. Another difference here is that in Florida, after the verdict, there were protests. They did not get as violent as the protests in Ferguson have been getting. And it seems that the president has put as a priority trying to calm the tensions, not just overall in the way people are thinking about this, but in the streets of Ferguson, trying not to exacerbate the situation. That is something that he needs to make sure to do, and he doesn't want, if the violence gets out of hand, to be anywhere near it rhetorically or anything else. So he's been trying to rail against that, to condemn what is going on there, even as he said multiple times yesterday, it was a small minority of people who were involved in the violence. He also said over and over again they need to stop. It needs to not be accepted by anyone.
And I wonder, too, as President of the United States, what else might be on his plate? We heard these statements right alongside some updates that he provided about what's going on in Iraq right now. I'm wondering if we were to turn back the clock and look back at what else was on his plate during the Trayvon Martin thing, would it be comparable? Is he at all, in other words, distracted by other world issues?
Well, being president means that you have to juggle about 5,000 things at once, and so that is what he is trying to do here. But, of course, these two issues yesterday, the Iraq issue and the Ferguson issue, were the ones that flared up in the biggest way. But it is important to note that we had been told that the president was going to come back for basically 2 days to Washington in the middle of his vacation for meetings at the White House. The White House has not told us what those meetings were, and we're not sure exactly why he needed to come back to Washington for them. But that was all before the president ordered airstrikes in Iraq and before the Ferguson trouble began.
Mm-hmm. You point out that unlike with the Trayvon Martin situation, there were no calls yet by him to reboot the national conversation about race. Why might that be?
Well, I think the driving factor, as I said here, is that the White House is looking to try to calm things down, and they think that at this point, anything that he would have said on the topic would have inflamed the situation, possibly on both sides, and that's not what they're looking to do.
Mm-hmm. And looking back at the Trayvon Martin and his response to that, what did we learn as a society? What did we take away and maybe even apply going forward after he put this call upon the United States to talk and think differently about race?
Well, look, a year ago he said we need to have a new conversation on race, and that was a year ago, and now we are where we are. So it's a difficult situation. I think a lot of people on election night in 2008 might have believed that we had come to a new point in the racial divide or racial relations in this country. And certainly the election of the first black president was an important milestone, but it wasn't going to change things overnight, and I think that it wasn't going to change things over the 6 years is what we've learned in a totally revolutionary way. For a lot of people, that's somewhat striking to think, how is it that we have a guy who is the first black president who's now been elected twice, and still we are in a country where what happened in Ferguson happened, and what happened in New York with the Eric Garner choking, or with Ezell Ford in Los Angeles, or with the shooting that happened in St. Louis earlier this afternoon, again, of a black man by, it seems, white police officers.
We're talking to White House reporter Isaac Dover about President Obama's remarks yesterday about the ongoing violence in Ferguson, Missouri. We want to hear from you on this as well. What role do you think President Obama should play in the unfolding situation there, or in general? Do you have remarks about, or do you hope that his remarks would be more personal. Why or why not? Let us know at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. We're continuing our conversation with Isaac Dover about President Obama's remarks on the unrest in Ferguson, Missouri. We'd like to take your calls. What role does the President of the United States have in these types of situations? What do you wish President Obama would speak about? Would you rather see him get more personal in his remarks about Ferguson? You can let us know at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Isaac, I wanted to talk about Obama's place here in terms of his term as president. He's nearing the end of his term. He's only got about two more years left. Doesn't have to face another reelection. And so, are we expecting him to take a bolder stance on things because he doesn't seem to have anything to lose politically?
Well, a lot of people thought that might happen as soon as he won re-election, but he has been, I think it would be fair to say, a little bit bolder on certain things, including racial issues, but has not been gone crazy on really much of anything. He's still a very cautious man, risk-averse in the way that he thinks about things, and the way that his staff thinks about things. They see themselves as doing better when they focus on the longer, larger approach and less on the jumping in on each passing controversy. But we have not seen any grand, bold plan on anything so far come out of the president. You may make the argument that what he has been trying to do on immigration reform could end up being that, and if he goes through with the executive actions that the White House has been considering that would expand the kinds of protections that he put in for the Dreamers in 2012 to a much wider group, then perhaps that would be it. But so far in the year and a half since he took his second oath of office, we haven't seen it.
And why is that? Why is that his preferred approach?
And that's who he is, in part. That's the kind of person that he is. And it's also, to the White House, a feeling of this is how they have to navigate the current situation that they find themselves in the media, in the news environment, in the political environment, that no matter what they do, they end up getting attacked. So they need to be careful to thread things through in a way that protects them as much as possible.
And on the other hand, it seems as though as a nation finds itself dealing with certain controversies or certain social movements, we look to the president for leadership and sometimes comfort. Have we come to expect that from the office of the presidency, and are we applying those expectations to Obama?
Well, look, the president is seen as not just our leader, but in a lot of people as the person who, when there's a national tragedy, the president speaks. The president speaks for the nation, consoles the nation, grieves for the nation, addresses the problems of the nation. That can be a little bit dangerous when in overthinking, overexpecting what a president can get done. I think that's also perhaps a slightly outdated notion given just how diversified and split the American attention is. And so we may not see that come out of not just Barack Obama, but any future president in the same way that we did when when Dwight Eisenhower would get on television to talk to three television channels, and many more people in the country would be watching it proportionally.
Right. We're taking your calls at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Let's talk to Dennis in Fond du Lac. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. I just think the role of any president would be to kind of keep an eye on the situation, let the local officials handle it. If they're not doing it, then the government or governor of that state should step in. And then if there's still not handling it and there are civil rights violations, then the federal government steps in.
Thanks, Dennis. And what about that, Isaac? What about the responsibility, I guess, of the local representatives, the governors, the state representatives? What should their role be in these situations?
Well, there was a lot of criticism that came down on Jay Nixon, the governor of Missouri, for not getting involved sooner, for not taking more of a hand in what was going on. But the other, on Sunday night, when he activated the National Guard, that created some frustrations, too. And it was clear in what President Obama said yesterday at the White House that he wasn't completely a fan of the National Guard decision, and said that he just wants to make sure that whatever they're doing, they're showing restraint, but pointed out very clearly that that decision was not his, that that was the governor's decision.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that call, Dennis. We go next to Jabril in Milwaukee. Hi, Jabril.
Hi. Obama's made some clear statements about the actual incident, about about what's been going on in the aftermath, and about what's been going on there with journalists. Yet we continue to see the unrest, and I think this is a real opportunity for him to make a statement, to do something a little bit more impactful, and actually go there in person. You know, I think what he could achieve being in Ferguson himself is a lot greater, and you know, if there's anyone who can bridge the gap between the civilians there in Ferguson and the police force, I think it's him. And I think, like I said, that would make a big statement.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jabril. What do you think about that, Isaac?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, the Attorney General is going at the president's direction tomorrow to Ferguson. So Eric Holder will be there to meet with FBI agents and with local leaders, the president has said. He did seem yesterday to not categorically rule out, but pretty much rule out going to Ferguson himself, the president. There are reasons for him to avoid doing it, although obviously there are reasons for him to do it. The reasons to avoid doing it might be that, number one, it could create much more tension just by having him on the ground there. Any president becomes, just due to the thoughts that get attached to the president and the attention that gets attached to the president, they tend to create more tension in already tense situations. The other part of it, which would seem to be on their minds as well, is that, of course, we're dealing with a situation that the local law enforcement has been struggling, some would say failing, some would say being forced to fail to deal with on the ground there. If the president comes to town, local law enforcement is very much a part of that. Mm-hmm. Now, whenever a president comes, it's not just the Secret Service, but you have local police who have to deal with road closings and the motorcade and all sorts of other security procedures. All of that attention and effort would be redirected from dealing with the situation in Ferguson to dealing with the president's presence there.
That's true. And I'm wondering, though, go on.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, so as Attorney General Eric Holder takes a visit tomorrow, do you expect a change in the tone coming from the president or his administration?
It's hard to tell at this point. It's a situation that is evolving both in terms of what's happening on the ground in Ferguson and in terms of what the administration's response to it is. Part of that is because they are trying to read the situation. Part of it is because there are these ongoing investigations. And we were told yesterday that after meeting with the president, Eric Holder got on a call with a number of stakeholders and civil rights leaders and told them that he was seeing from the Department of Justice investigation that's already underway that there are witnesses in Ferguson who are saying they're not comfortable giving their statements to the local authorities because they fear the local authorities. All those sorts of things go into the calculation of what to do here.
I want to bring up the fact, though, that President Obama is our first African-American president. Does that change our collective expectations of him when it comes to addressing events like these or racial dynamics that we've seen in the last few years?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And it's something that that everybody is aware of, including Barack Obama and all the people who work for him. The trouble that comes for them is that usually people who feel that racial issues have not been addressed sufficiently feel that almost anything that the president says is not quite enough or just enough if, when he goes all the way like he did after the Zimmerman verdict. And those people who feel like too much attention goes to these issues will, when whatever he says, even as restrained as he says it, tend to feel like he is showing some level of favoritism and overreach in talking about these things.
Mm-hmm. What can or should he do then to revitalize the nation's dialogue and perspective on race in the United States?
It may be beyond any man, any one man, any president to be able to get done. He has tried, and he said yesterday that, of course, this is centuries of legacy here that he's trying to deal with. And, you know, he's been president for 6 years. He has had a significant impact on many of these things, but not a revolution in every way of thinking in this country.
Yeah. And so is it then an obligation of the next president to carry that torch and to continue the dialogue?
Look, race is something that is literally written into our Constitution when you go back to the Three-Fifths Compromise. This is something that no matter who the president is or what is going on in the country will continue to be part of what America has to deal with and what runs through so much of American life.
Isaac, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
That was Edward Isaac Dover. He's senior White House reporter for Politico.